Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I am Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, a young guy today, told me that he loves the Real Science Friday shows. He asked me if Fred Williams would be on today, and I said, you sure would be. So here we are, but he's going to be discouraged maybe because we need to start with a correction.
Oh, with a correction. Okay.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about that? You know how we've been correcting errors on Bob Enyart Live for 20 years we've been on the air? We make corrections on our website with the show summaries, and on our homepage, we have an errata link. And that errata link, right on our homepage, people can read about what we have found out to be our biggest errors over the years.
Well, you know, we talk about a lot of different things on this show, lots of different data. And, you know, on occasion, we're going to say things that aren't accurate, and we want to be very diligent about getting out and correcting those errors.
We really do. So there is a correction of this. It has to do with our list of not-so-old things. And this is a really, really fun topic, and it has to do with, recall the squid that scientists were able to get ink from, this squid that is supposedly ancient, 150 million years old, and they drew a picture of the squid with the squid's ink. Well, the error came in this, that I said that the ink was still liquid. And it turns out that's not true. It's still a fascinating story. So could I quickly give a recount? We were talking about the soft tissue dinosaur finds, which you can read about this in Nature Magazine, Science, National Geographic, all over the world, science journals. Now, for years, it turns out a T-Rex that's supposed to be 65 million years old, they found blood vessels, blood cells, soft tissue, pliable. Pretty startling.
Oh, it's really amazing. I mean, you have to see pictures of this stuff, you know, if you haven't. I know you have, but
yeah, a lot of people have
the
not.
Audience. It's real easy to find on the internet. Just look for T-Rex and blood vessels, and you'll see these photographs of really compelling evidence that dinosaurs and man are contemporary, right? Because they can't be millions of years old.
That's right, and we have these photos on kgov.com. Just click on Real Science Friday, look at the list of not-so-old things. And then, since North Carolina State University and Montana State University are in on this, well, Harvard wants to get in on it, and other universities. So they go and look, and they find a soft-tissue hadrosaur, and Harvard has now sequenced some of the proteins of a hadrosaur, which was supposedly 80 million years old, and then not to be undone, in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, other researchers looked at their Archaeopteryx fossil that they had that's twice as old. It's supposed to be 150 million years old, and they have found various types of soft tissue out of the feathers and the bones.
And the thing's twice as old, 150 million years old.
150 million years old. And so original biological material would break down, even if you had it in frozen nitrogen, in liquid nitrogen, it would break down because of the movement of molecules and atoms, the random movement. But here's the correction. I had previously stated that the squid that is reported by the British Geological Survey that they excavated, that they say is 150 million years old, that ink was still liquid. And at theologyonline.com, great forum, there's an evolutionist, Aylett One, who pointed out, Bob, you're wrong. And so we're always thankful to evolutionists who fact-check our materials.
That's right.
It's really helpful that
they do
that.
They go over this stuff with a fine tooth and comb, don't they?
They do, and they do a great job of it. And so the British Geological Survey's Dr. Phil Wilby excavated the fossil, and he said this. He said, it is difficult to imagine how you can have something as soft and sloppy as an ink sac fossilized in three dimensions, still black, and inside a rock that is 150 million years old. And so then Fred, the Daily Mail from London, states that the black ink was of exactly the same structure as that of today's version of ink from a squid.
So they did a molecule analysis, and that's how they determined it was like the ink, but they didn't actually see liquid ink.
Well, they reconstituted it.
Gotcha.
So the London Telegraph reports that scientists cracked open what appeared to be an ordinary-looking rock, only to find the one-inch-long black ink sac inside, and after realizing what they had stumbled across, they took out a small sample of the black substance, ground it up with an ammonia solution, and remarkably, the ink they created was good enough to allow them to draw. And so Dr. Wilby added, normally you would find only hard parts like the shell and bones fossilized, but these creatures can be dissected as if they are living animals. You can see the muscle fibers and cells. See, Fred, even when we're correcting an error, there's fascinating scientific information here. You could see the muscle fibers and cells. It's supposed to be 150 million years old. It is difficult to imagine, he said. The structure is similar to ink from a modern squid, so we can write with it. And now, why is that difficult for evolutionists to imagine? Well, from creation.com, Dr. Carl Wieland, chemical structures fall apart all by themselves over time due to the randomizing effects of molecular motion. So, yeah, all this original biological material that's being found is strong evidence that these creatures did not live tens and 100 million years ago.
Well, you know, some of the explanations I've heard from evolutionists on these kind of fossil finds is that they'll say, well, it's fossilized material of some other biological life form. You know how fossilization, they say it can be taken over by, I've heard that as an argument. Well, they can't use that one here. They can't say that it was some other life form that's not as old in the rock that happened to have some of its molecular composition as part of the fossil. How can they use that argument now on this? Because here it clearly is something that they reconstituted into ink. And we would expect that from a squid, right?
So it's not bacteria that somehow seeped into the fossil and is growing, and there's not a bacterial film. And this is also true now with the soft tissue from these dinosaurs. They are determining explicitly, genetically, virtually genetically, they're sequencing amino acids in proteins. And they're saying, look, guys, we know what we got here. We got dinosaur soft tissue.
Well, speaking of dinosaurs, do we find them in the fossil record with the things that they allegedly evolved into, birds?
Well, birds, that's a great question. Supposedly, birds evolved later, and birds are found in the fossil record. That's true.
And they're found with dinosaurs, right? So it leads to an article in Creation Magazine.
That's right, Creation Magazine. And this is the recent edition through June 2011. And what an interview of Dr. Carl Werner. This is really interesting stuff, Fred.
Yeah, he got his degree at University of Missouri. He's an expert in biology, and now he's a physician. He works in an emergency room in St. Louis, practices emergency medicine. And as a side hobby, it looks like he's somewhat of an amateur paleontologist, would you say?
Yeah, he and his wife have traveled the world going to museums and keeping a log of what they find on display. And this gets pretty interesting because you were mentioning that they find birds, fossil birds, in the same strata with dinosaurs, but they don't like to show that very often because that would get people to question, well, it just doesn't sound right the way they have trained us to think of dinosaurs so long ago before modern creatures. And that's why, Fred, I was talking to a technical guy who loves science just yesterday at a coffee shop. He had never heard of any of these soft dinosaur soft tissue finds. And they should be, that should be the news of the century.
It really
should
be.
The science news of the century.
Oh, it amazes me how few people really know about this. And it does. It really amazes people when you show them this information.
Yeah. It causes them to doubt their normal sources for scientific information.
I can't believe this one friend of mine that I used to work with at a former engineering company I was at, and he had not heard of any of this. And I saw him at the computer. I showed him the article, and he was just sitting there, and he was going, I don't believe this. This is incredible. This is exactly right. What he was saying. I don't believe this.
Right.
He was shocked.
Yeah. And so Dr. Werner, he's written a book on living fossils, and from traveling to all these museums, he's made quite some interesting observations.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're talking about birds. He mentions that he's seen parrots, owls, penguins, ducks, loons. Loons. I wonder, is that like a funny bird or something? Anyways, these are, these birds are not, they haven't changed one iota. We find that all the time in the fossil record.
So many creatures from the fossil record.
They identify them as what they really are, a parrot. They're not calling it a paratostophy loon. They're some kind of half this, half that. It's a parrot.
Right. And in fact, Dr. Werner points out that paleontologists so far have found 432 mammal species in the dinosaur layers.
Yeah,
432.
Was he able to find any of those in these museums?
Well, you go to the museums. He's gone to 60 museums, he and his wife, and they were looking to document, and they did not see a single example where a museum would show a complete mammal skeleton, a mammal, with their dinosaur environments. And so maybe they'd show a bone here or there, but they have a worldview that they want to present, even though it's not the worldview of the fossils. Because if it's the worldview of the fossils, well, then 432 mammal species in the dinosaur strata, well, then they should be there.
That's right. And they don't, they don't want the public to see this evidence, right? That's the impression I get, that you go to a museum, you don't see this evidence because that will not fit their worldview. But instead what you'll see, Bob, and we're going to talk about this later, we're going to talk about Lucy, right?
Right.
Well, they'll see
Lucy, Australopithecus.
Australopithecus, the so-called human ancestor, half ape, half human in a sense. And they'll show Lucy in the museums that looks half ape, half human. They'll create a transitional form, and yet it's completely, most of it's fictional.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they'll show Lucy with human feet, yet they've never found feet for the Australopithecus, right?
Yeah, but they show the feet, and
they're completely human, and they're
from
not.
From the rest of her skeleton, we know she's going to have feet like a chimp. In fact, she's not even midway between African apes and human beings, right? You were telling me a quote where Lucy is more different from apes and humans than we are from one another, so she certainly is in no way intermediary.
That's right. And, evolutionists, there's plenty of evolutionist scientists who admit that Lucy is not a human ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
She has all kinds of ape-like characteristics, such as she's arboreal.
That she climbs in trees. And so she was not an upright walker. One of the things they did was they did a CAT scan on her inner ear, and she did not walk on 2 feet upright. She's a knuckle walker.
That's right. Well, that quote, Bob, is this, and this is an evolutionist scientist. He said that Lucy, when they talk about Lucy, they are more different from humans and African apes than humans and African apes are from each other.
Mm.
So there's a bigger difference from Lucy. And this is, again, from an evolutionist.
Yeah. And quite often, Fred, when we quote evolutionist, very often we're quoting leading evolutionist experts on the topic that the quote refers to.
That's like, right. This is right out of Nature magazine.
And this is Professor Oxnard.
Yep.
Professor C.E. Oxnard, who's a world-renowned evolutionist anthropologist.
That's right. Well, and I'd encourage the audience, go to the Bonobo. Just put in Bonobo. Go to the, I think it's bonobo.org.
Bonobo? And
bonobo.org.
How do you spell that?
B-O-N-O-B-O.
All right.
And you'll see that Lucy's just an extinct type of bonobo. Mm. They even say on the website something to the effect that bonobos closely resemble Australopithecus afarensis. And who is Australopithecus afarensis? Who is that?
That's Lucy.
So
Donald Johansson, his discovery.
And if you look at a reconstructed skull of Lucy and you put it up next to a skull of a bonobo, it's very hard to tell the difference. Mm. What evolutionists do, they keep finding chimps and other apes in the fossil record, and they keep trying to turn them into humans.
Just
and
like there's such a wide variety of chimps and apes alive today.
That's right. And yet they seem to have a hard time finding chimps and apes in the fossil record. Mm. Well, there's a reason. They keep turning them into humans.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wow, what a good point. So, Dr. Werner, we're talking about how museums are biased in the way they put together their exhibits. And that's true right here at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. But he talks about modern plants in dinosaur rock. And this strata, like from Jurassic era or whenever, the strata with dinosaur fossils, there are all kinds of modern plants. In fact, he said that he and his wife found fossils from every major plant division living today, including flowering plants, ginkgos, cone trees, moss, vascular mosses, ferns. They found every kind of modern plant living today. And he goes on to say, and the plants have not changed.
One bit. Yeah, that's right.
They have not changed. Fossil sequoias, magnolias, dogwoods, poplars, redwoods, lily pads, ferns, horsetails have been found at the dinosaur digs. And you see them and you say, I know that. There's one of those down the street from me.
That's right. You know, dinosaurs could go and get a salad bar. It'd be pretty much the same then as it was today, right?
Mm.
But yeah. We're not talking millions of years ago.
That's right. And so Dr. Werner says, I did not find fossils of every organism living today in the dinosaur layers. Rather, I found representative examples from all the major animal phyla living today and all the major plant divisions living today. I frequently found representatives of all the major groups or classes within a phylum. And so this is just so very interesting. He said, same thing with insects and crocodilian species. So it's really neat that we know, because the Bible is God's word, we know that these billions of animals were killed and suddenly deposited in waterborne sediments. That's how the fossil record was formed. And Fred, that's why, for example, a friend of mine, Tom DeRosa, he has a bit in this Creation Research Society quarterly we've been talking about. And he's talking about in Florida, there is Bone Valley, where they have been excavating fossils for decades. And he says there is this prolific fossil bed where many marine and terrestrial creatures are found together. And so what? Whales with saber-toothed cats.
Wow.
And so, well, yeah, and, come, you know, on.
We find these, quite a bit of these fossil graveyards. Just think of Dinosaur National Park. How many of those you see all bunched together? If you've ever been there, it's really neat. I mean,
we've been there. My son Josiah, Nathaniel, we've gone there. We were excavating a really neat allosaur right outside the park. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, this reminds me of, and it just occurred to me on my forum, I don't know how many years ago, we're probably going back five or more years. There were two evolutionists. One of them, and we were talking about how, what would it take to falsify evolution for you? And one of them said, well, if you find, humans or other mammals in the fossil record that aren't expected to be there with dinosaurs. And another evolutionist says, oh, no, that could happen, and he came up with the excuses because of all these other living fossils. So he was a little bit more educated on what we're actually finding. Mm. But I'd be curious to see what this guy thinks now if I showed him this evidence. Hey, there's many examples of mammals found with dinosaurs.
The book Forbidden Archaeology, I've never read that book, but it's a book about the finds that were not permitted. They just don't fit into a worldview, and so they're rejected. So when you have human footprints, and the evidence now is tremendous that human footprints have been found with dinosaur footprints, especially in Glen Rose, Texas.
That's right.
The Biloxi River Basin.
It reminds me of the Laetoli footprints. We were just talking about Lucy. Well, one of the excuses they use where they can give her human footprints is because they found human footprints in the same layers that they find Lucy. So instead of it occurring to them that, well, maybe these human footprints were laid down by a humans.
Right.
You know, they
instead
come
of
up with this wild speculation.
About a meter tall.
That's
with
right.
Human feet.
Yeah.
Come on. So, Fred, since we're talking about Lucy, I also enjoy recalling about Skull 1470. Do you remember Skull 1470?
I definitely remember Skull 1470. It caused quite a controversy in the evolutionist circles because they didn't find it. It didn't fit their paradigm of human evolution.
Right. Now, supposedly, that was found by, if I remember, Louis Leakey's son, Richard Leakey. Do you remember the book by, who is it, Marvin Lubinow? Fossils?
Yeah, Bones of Contention.
Bones of Contention,
yes.
Yeah, Lubinow has a tremendous appendix just on Skull 1470. And it got its name from when Richard Leakey found this in Kenya. And so he checked it in at the Kenyan National Museum. He found it at East Rutherford, the lake, and it's the museum's catalog number 1470. So it's fossil KNM-ER-1470, or commonly known as Skull 1470. Well, this skull looked so human, and it was supposedly much older than all the other hominid fossils that were on the line.
So what do you mean it was much older? It was found in strata that they had dated much
older,
right?
They dated it, and Fred, let me tell you how they dated it much older, like a few million years ago. And they dated it with different radiometric techniques from three different state-of-the-art labs around the world. At world-class universities, they dated it, and they said, okay, here's how old it is. Well,
the strata, right?
The strata that they found the skull
in. Yeah, so they had already dated the strata beforehand.
Yeah, the strata is that they know how old this had to be deposited.
Because they had, I think it was as many as five different independent dating methods that they say all converged on a very similar date.
They all said that was the date.
Yep.
Well, big problem. Because if Skull 1470 looked pretty human, and if it was true, then all these other claims, they all have to be discarded, and that's what he said. He said this throws into ruins the notion that we have any kind of sequence leading up to Homo sapiens.
Yeah, Leakey, they were kind of rivals with the Johansons who discovered Lucy, and it's a big statement for him to say that, I don't remember the exact quote, but it's something like this is throwing human evolution totally on its backside, you have to totally rethink it.
Yeah.
And so it was a big deal.
So here's what they did. Now, I'd like to ask you, if you remember, did you ever read Lubinow's
book? Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
in fact,
did.
I thought his appendix was the highlight of his book.
Yeah, I agree. And it was so much fun because he documents it. He goes through it historically. He's got all the literature documented.
And it was about a 10-year period, if I recall, about how they're trying to figure out how are they going to solve this problem.
Yeah.
And ultimately,
because the evolutionists don't want to throw out all their evolution, which they don't have any.
Yeah.
But whatever the shreds they had of a few teeth or whatever, they don't want to throw it all out for Richard Leakey.
That's right. So
they redated Skull 1470.
Well, I think they had Nebraska Man on the mind because what happened was the pigs won out.
The pigs won. That's right. They took all the radiometric dating, they set it aside. And they said, look, we figured out how to date this, and Skull 1470 is way more recent than we thought because there are some pig fossils that are found nearby, and we know when the pigs evolved. So since we know when the pigs evolved, we know that this has to be young, and so they threw out all, and they tell everyone else, oh, we know these things are old because of the radiometric dating. You know, argon, potassium argon, and We know they make up the dates to fit their worldview.
Yeah, so next time somebody tells you that, oh, we know the Earth is this old because we have four or five independent methods that converge on the same date.
Right.
All you need to tell them about is Skull 1470 because they had the similar number of all these converging independent dates.
Right.
But
right.
It didn't fit their theory when they found this human-like skull in that strata. And so they had to redate it. It took them about 10 years to come up with a solution, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And the pigs won out. And the reason why I mentioned Nebraska Man is because Nebraska Man turned out to be an extinct pig. So there's a connection.
It was a pig.
They have pig on their mind.
Nebraska Man, and that was the big evidence with the Scopes trial.
That's right.
You know, there's a new movie out. It's going into a few film festivals, and in May it'll be at the South Carolina Film Festival, Boston Film Festival, and it's called Alleged, and it's about the Scopes Monkey Trial. Well, during that trial, the ACLU really parroted the Nebraska man was proof of human evolution, and Fred, they built up a whole civilization from one tooth.
Now, that's right.
They had one tooth.
They had a single tooth, and they got the dad, the mom.
The hair on the body, the tools they used. They had everything. It was one of our hominids. Then, to their chagrin, they later dug up the rest of the skeleton, and it was a pig.
An extinct type of pig. That's right.
It was a pig.
Is a razorback a pig? I wonder if it is. Okay, I was just looking at our producer over here.
Yeah.
So I think they should have been the Nebraska Razorbacks, not Cornhuskers.
Right.
In honor of Nebraska man.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, they had pig on the brain.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, last thing. We're almost out of time. There is an atheist, Jody J. Nagel from Indiana, who wrote a letter to the editor to Creation Magazine. And she says... Well, she ends up saying that Christians should not be allowed to vote. And it's a very short letter. And she doesn't like that there are thoughtless, faith-based people living in the country. But, Fred, she starts out, creationism is just plain wrong. Your evidence is not evidence. Your attacks on the theory of evolution lack rationality. What do you notice in that?
Well, the first thing I notice is she's not presenting any evidence.
No evidence.
She's just saying, this is what I believe, and you guys are wrong, and so you should go off and hide somewhere and not vote.
Yeah, so, right. Fred, when I take the time to write a letter to the editor, I know they're not going to change their mind because I asked them to. I provide evidence, argumentation.
You have a point.
I have a point. When a caller calls a talk show, they need to have a point. And so creation.com/denyvote, you could read the whole letter by Jody J. Nagel, which is fact-free. It's a fact-free environment.
That's what they...
No facts, no evidence at all. But then she says, my children should not be required to live in a country where faith-based thoughtlessness is rampant. Now that's...
Oh, man.
I see stuff like this. I hear stuff like this. What is she saying? Like, she's the one requiring her kids to live here, first of all. Yeah. But what does she want to dispose Christians? Get rid of them?
That's what it sounds like.
And then she says... she says that we shouldn't be allowed to vote. My children shouldn't be required to live in a country where faith-based people are allowed to vote.
Well, do we still have to pay property taxes, though?
No.
Okay, we don't get to pay those either?
No, no taxation
without
representation.
This is getting a little bit better.
I'll give up my vote. I'll give up my vote.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah. Hey, Fred Williams, thank you for an enjoyable Friday show, Real Science Friday.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be here.
It's really fun. And our website, kgov.com, has so many fun programs on all different topics. Really fun resources. May God bless you.